Hi, everybody. I'm Josh.
And I'm Ethan. And this is The Young Perspective.
So today, everybody, we're talking about what's on everybody's minds. You know, we're in this situation. Some cities are on lockdown, especially in California or New York. You know, they have a lot of restrictions. Some places are open, but everybody is dealing with the coronavirus. Cases are way, way, way up. We hit 15 million cases in the United States on Tuesday. Deaths, you know, thousands, over 3,000 deaths a day. Mm-hmm. It's really bad. And before we get into the bulk of the episode, I want to give an example of how bad it is. So it took about 100 days for the United States to record its first a million coronavirus cases. After that, it took 44 days to top 2 million. And now it took from 14 million to 15 million. It only took 5 days.
Wow.
A million cases in 5 days. 200,000 cases a day. That was about a week ago. This is from Tuesday. Wow.
That's
crazy.
That is a
lot. That is crazy. It's bad. And you know what's going to fix it, hopefully.
Hopefully the vaccine. Yeah, that's pretty exciting. Pfizer, a company that's in partnership with BioNTech, has developed a vaccine for the coronavirus known as BNT162b2, and it has been approved in the United Kingdom, Canada, and today when we're doing this, it has been recommended by the FDA to be approved. So it has a very good chance of being approved in the next few days or weeks. And it should be an implement in the next few weeks or at the start of 2021.
So in the UK, as Ethan said, it had been approved. And on Tuesday, the first two people got it. A guy named William Shakespeare got it and some other elderly woman. I thought it was funny that the person...
Shakespeare. That's pretty
really,
awesome.
That is pretty awesome to get the first coronavirus vaccine. Maybe he was reincarnated. Anyway, so because these other countries have approved it and because it seems safe, it has a 95% efficacy rate of keeping people safe from the coronavirus or, you know, preventing severe sickness, which is really good. You know, you get
very
the vaccine.
Good.
It's like the flu shot, kind of, if you think about it in that way. You still get sick, but not as sick, and there's a much less likelihood that you'll die. And this is particularly important for elderly people, people over the age of 65, and people with underlying health conditions. And yeah. Those are the people that are going to get it first.
And this vaccine, it's kind of crazy how well it's doing. You have two doses. After the first dose, there's a 50% chance of it being effective. And then after the second dose, a 95% chance. And across the board, across age groups, genders, across races and ethnicities, and across different underlying health conditions, it has been pretty much exactly the same and does well in all of them. So that's awesome. And when combined with the two doses, it's at 95%. It's very high rate of efficacy. And so hopefully when these vaccines get distributed and if we can get these vaccines out to a lot of people, hopefully we can sometime next year, you know, things can start getting back to where they were before this COVID crisis.
This vaccine, the Pfizer one in particular, is special. Special because it's a new type of vaccine. It's an mRNA vaccine. Ethan's the science guy. So Ethan, you explain, what is an mRNA vaccine?
Well, thank you for the introduction, Josh. An mRNA vaccine is a messenger RNA vaccine. It's actually the first of its kind. Pretty exciting. The technology just happened to line up for when this COVID-19 pandemic hit. And an mRNA vaccine, basically what it does, it sends messenger RNA into our bodies. And the messenger RNA carries genetic material that the cells use to build proteins. And when they build these proteins create spikes. And when these protein spikes can eventually lead through certain processes to create antigens. And these antigens are very important because the antigens, they can either attack cells that are infected with COVID and kill them, or they can prevent COVID from even entering cells in the first place. And so it's a very effective vaccine, and it can actually be used in other situations for other diseases in the future.
So for more feeble minds like myself, you have genetic material in the messenger RNA. I believe it's surrounded by a lipid, like a fatty oil.
Yeah, they're surrounded in lipids as like nanoparticles, and that kind of works as a way to protect the mRNA because it's fragile.
Yeah, protected from the spikes of the coronavirus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting that the messenger RNA is going to go infiltrate a cell and teach it how to build these proteins that go and fight the coronavirus.
Right, and it uses genetic information from COVID. However, once the cells have used that information, all of that information is deleted. It pretty much just disappears. That way, no trace of it is present in the body, and it's not harmful. It just teaches how to make harmless proteins that don't affect us. It only affects the COVID-19 particles. And eventually, what they'll do is after two doses, and even after one dose, it can effectively kill off any COVID that enters your body.
Now, because it's such a new treatment and a new type of vaccine, people are scared, you know, reasonably scared, because it's new and because it was pushed out really, really quickly due to Operation Warp Speed, which helped it, you know, speed up the process a little bit. And people are scared that testing may have been compromised because of speed and things of that nature. So, Ethan, do you think it's safe?
I trust the FDA, and I trust... So Josh's dad just walked in, and he actually has something to say about whether he trusts the vaccine or not.
Dad, you want to say hello to my podcast?
Yeah.
What do you have to say about the vaccine?
Let me tell you something. I've spoken to a bunch of doctors about the vaccine, and you'd be a fool not to take that vaccine. I asked one of the doctors, I said, what about the people who don't want to take the vaccine? They said, hey, it's kind of like a lifeboat. If you want to give up your seat and get off the lifeboat and go on the sinking ship, go ahead. It just opens up the seats for the other people who are being more than willing to take that seat. So it's all about survival. It's a, you know, vaccine that's going to work. We know coronavirus is deadly. We see the deaths mounting every single day. Take the vaccine and survive. Don't take the vaccine. Somebody else will take it and survive.
That's my dad, everybody.
Well, those are some morbid words from Josh's dad, but very true. Take the vaccine and you'll survive, or don't take it and someone else will survive.
Ethan, what is your answer to the question, is the vaccine safe?
I think it's safe. The tests show it's safe. And I have my faith in doctors, and they say it's safe. And so when I'm able to take the vaccine, I'll take the vaccine as fast as I can.
What do you say to people who argue that the long-term effects may be deadly because it's just so new?
Hey, I get that it's scary. Anything is scary. But a lot of data shows that it won't have so many terrible side effects. And to me, I will play my chances because, you know, it's the other chance, getting COVID. And I don't want to get COVID. That's a very serious side effect that could happen right now.
That's true. That's true. But Ethan, if you get COVID, your most chances are, you know, if you get COVID, most likely you're not going to die because you're young and you're healthy. You don't have any underlying conditions, right?
That's true.
So if you're older, you're elderly, or you have underlying conditions which put you at higher risk, you would want to take the COVID-19, you know, vaccine, because the risk of dying is larger than the risk of the vaccine being defective in a couple of years' time. But if you're young and you're going to survive the coronavirus anyway, you know, the risk of you dying is very low. Why would you take the vaccine that maybe has a little bit higher risk of having long-term effects?
Well, Josh, you're right. There maybe isn't that many good, reliable data that shows that this vaccine can't have some side effect in the future. It shows that there aren't that many side effects right now, but in the future, who knows? However, COVID might not pose a serious threat to myself as a young person, but someone who lives with an old person, my grandma in my house, I don't want to get her sick. I don't want her to die. I don't want my parents to die. I don't want anyone to die from this virus. I want to protect the public, and I feel like it's my civil duty to get this vaccine.
So are you saying that when young people get the vaccine, it decreases the spread, decreases the amount of old or people who get it and people with underlying conditions? That's a good point. Relating to not only long-term effects of the vaccine, but short-term effects, people argue that this vaccine, you know, it could have some serious short-term effects in the next couple months. The problem with that is if there were short-term effects, you know, serious ones, it's going to happen in a large amount of the people who get the vaccine, they would have already been found in phase 3 of the trials. You know, they tested these vaccines on thousands and thousands of people. The short-term problems would already have been found.
Exactly. So if all of the medical experts say that I should get this vaccine, I'm going to get the vaccine. That's my view. You don't have to believe in it. But as Josh's dad said, take the lifeboat or don't take it.
That brings up the question, When will we get the vaccine? Well, last year, a lot of head medical officials in the U.S., heads of the CDC and the National Institute of Health, they met and they decided the first people to get the vaccine would be the healthcare workers in the next couple months. Ethan's parents are doctors. I believe they can get it in the next couple weeks, which is very good. You know,
week, I'm pretty sure.
The healthcare workers are exposed to it on a large, large level. Secondly, the older folks, people over the age of 65, will begin getting it, I believe, in February. Is that correct, Ethan?
I heard something that it might be open to some people in January, so I would assume that it would be them.
So January or early February through March and April is when they'll try to get older people vaccinated and maybe some people with underlying conditions. And then everybody else, you know, healthy adults and then are next, and then healthy children and young adults are after that. They haven't even started really testing the vaccines for children on a large scale, so that's going to be much later.
And I would like to add one more thing. If you're a young person and you're scared about the effects for you, you know, you're young, this could have an effect in 50 years. That could affect you. You know, an old person probably won't affect them because they're already at their old age. But you're not going to really get the vaccine for a while. So they're going to have a lot more information by the time you get the vaccine. And so hopefully, you know, maybe that information will be able to convince you that it's safe.
That's true. Young people are going to get it last. We talked a lot about who's going to get the vaccine and when. But how are they going to get the vaccine? You know, Pfizer, the first vaccine that's coming out, is a very special vaccine because it has to be kept at very, very cold temperatures, negative 90 degrees Fahrenheit or negative 68 degrees Celsius. That's very cold. Most hospitals, most medical clinics, and you know, most mainstream medical institutions don't have freezers like that. So a lot of the big hospitals in the big cities have been getting these freezers. In Houston, where we live, Texas Children's just got the special freezers. Methodist just got the special freezers. Memorial Hermann just got the special freezers. All these large hospitals are getting them, and they'll be able to get out to the nurses and the doctors first. But what do you do about distributing the vaccine in small towns or areas where they don't have these special freezers to store the vaccines? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you do? These vaccines can't be out in the warmth for more than a minute, I believe, a day. You know, they have to be kept very, very cold or they'll become ineffective. What do you do?
Thank God there is not just Pfizer. There are actually two other vaccines, Moderna and AstraZeneca, that are also in the works that are, you know, the top three vaccines right now. And Moderna also has some strict guidelines for how it needs to be kept. Not as strict as Pfizer, but still strict. But AstraZeneca is where it proves most potential because it actually has, you know, the least strict guidelines. I think it just has to be in a normal refrigerator and it can be kept in there for a long period of time. And so that vaccine, when it's ready, it's not ready yet, but when it's ready, can hopefully reach a larger audience of people. And it's also good because it's a lot cheaper than the other ones. The other ones are around $15 to $20, $25, while AstraZeneca is actually only $4.
So what's going to happen is you'll have Pfizer go to the big cities and they'll be able to distribute a lot of vaccines there. But in the smaller towns and communities where they don't have the resources to hold and contain the Pfizer vaccines in their freezers, then that's where the AstraZeneca vaccines will head. Before we end off the episode, I want to quickly speak about how challenging it will be to get everybody vaccinated. Mm-hmm. It, you know, some people are calling it the largest logistical challenge in the history of humanity. People disagree, but people don't understand how challenging it is. First of all, challenging because you want to get 60 to 70% of the population, I guess the global population, vaccinated to be able to have a critical mass so the virus will slowly disappear. So that's about 4.5 billion people. Yeah. Everybody needs most vaccines need two doses. That's 9 billion doses. 9 billion doses, that's a lot of doses. How are you going to get those doses out to everybody? Secondly, you need to be able to transport the doses on our current transportation infrastructure. And our current transportation infrastructure is limited, especially for cold chain storage. So cold storage like vaccines need, very, very limited. And the cold chain storage for the Pfizer vaccine, you know, the storage that goes up down to negative 90 degrees Fahrenheit, that is a subset of the subset that is very limited. And the overall transportation industry is very, very challenged during the coronavirus. They've had a lot of delays. So that's another challenge. You know, the large industry is stressed, the subset of cold chain is stressed, and the subset of the subset is very, very stressed. So the plane infrastructure is not there to transport the vaccine. The truck infrastructure isn't there. And that's going to be one of the big challenges in the next couple of months. What Pfizer has done to combat this is, instead of having to use a special plane that has, you know, special cold storage, Pfizer has created these boxes. And they're like boxes with dry ice that can hold the vaccines cold for up to 10 days. So they can transport them on conventional cargo planes or regular planes and send them around the world. But that too is not perfect, because you can only open them up for a minute a day, or a minute twice a day, to get vaccines. So, you know, if you're in a little town somewhere where you have the Pfizer vaccine in these special cold chain boxes, you don't know how many vaccines you need at the beginning of the day. Well, you can't open it up as you need more vaccines and get the most people vaccinated. Or, you know, you have to be careful. You don't want to take too many vaccines out, because then you're going to be wasting them. So the storage is very complicated, and the transportation is very complicated, especially for the Pfizer vaccine, the first one out there.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a difficult challenge. And I think that we're coping with the challenge as it's presenting itself. And I think that, you know, new methods are being devised. And hopefully the idea that we have the three different vaccines will be helpful, especially the AstraZeneca vaccine. But I think that not now, and don't think that, you know, this virus is going to go away in February and March, because that's when the first people get it. You have to focus on the last people to get it, or the, you know, 60% of people that get it that make it effective on a wide scale population. And that might take a while. That might take till the end of 2021, or who knows how long it will take. But it will be there eventually, is what is the most important thing, is that we have a solution. We have a vaccine that works.
That is the end goal. Hopefully it's safe. It works. And we encourage everybody to get it for the good of the people around them. You know, this concludes our episode. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You can find more of The Young Perspective at theyoungperspective.net, or on Instagram at @the_young_perspective, or on TikTok, same as Instagram, maybe. Find us on those platforms. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
And this was The Young Perspective.